Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Looking up to heaven, Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Amen. Would you please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to St. Margaret's. Well, we're on that in-between day again. Comes once a year, the one between the Ascension and Pentecost. It's just that one Sunday, Ascension Day, 40 days after Easter was this past Thursday. In fact, if I can invite you to, if you don't have it handy, find your bulletin, pull it out, and look. Let's see, I guess we're on panel two now. Turn to panel four, the first one on the other page, right at the beginning of communion. The first thing, the offertory anthem from Ralph Vaughan Williams. It looks like a King James translation, but it's Psalm 47, the psalm that we share together on Ascension Day in the worship. The King James accounts for that second line there, the Lord Most High is terrible. That doesn't mean it the way we might use the word. We mean terrible in the sense of terrifying, worthy of terror, huge, scary, serious. And then this line, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Now, I heard the rehearsal for this anthem this morning, and so I know that that line gets some prominence, and you'll hear it. This Thursday was the day when we remember that Jesus, who had been with the disciples in bodily form until the crucifixion and then came back at the resurrection and was with them for a time after the resurrection, then left them again to complete his work, to finish the what we call the Paschal mystery. It's why we have this Paschal candle out. still today, because until the Holy Spirit arrives next Sunday, and it'll be out next Sunday, the cycle is not really complete. It starts with the nativity of Jesus, God entering the world, then living as one of us, changing what it means to be human, changing what it means to be physical, dying, resurrecting, ascending to the Father, so that, as the Eucharistic prayer says, so that where He is, there we too may be. That is to say, at the heart of God. And then the Holy Spirit comes next week to strengthen us. But this week is this week, and we're in between. God has gone up with a shout, but there is no strengthening, comforting Holy Spirit just yet. So what's it like to live as resurrection people during this period? Well, I think I've told you before, and I wish I could remember where I even heard the story. I think a friend told me this story of his own childhood, where he was visiting his best friend's home, and his friend's dad was the kind of dad who knew everything and was a real leader, and the one you went to if you had a question about anything, because he knew it all. But they were also terrified of him, as the Lord is terrifying. He was somebody you didn't trifle with, and you didn't waste his time. And he went into the backyard looking for his friend, and found instead his friend's father, the terrifying man, up on a ladder, working on the gutter. And he lowered his hammer, and boom, off flew a nail. And the man on the ladder, without seeing whoever it was that told this story first, thinking he was alone, said to himself, "Damn it, Dad, where are you when I need you? I don't know what I'm supposed to do." How absolutely terrifying to be without the person who was your guide, who was your rock. I lost my own father back in 2008, and I know what that is like, and I know how frightening it is to lose somebody who, even though I was convinced for most of my father's life that he really knew next to nothing, once he was gone, I realized he was the one I went to for all kinds of common sense advice. He was the one that I really needed. I can imagine being up on a ladder, lowering that hammer. "Damn it, Dad. Where are you now that I need you?" My dad was a good man, and he was the kind of person who could keep all the rest of us steady as Jesus kept the disciples steady. And when my dad died, he left a few things to each of us as members of the family, and to me, among other gifts he left me, were two sets of note cards. They were two speeches he had prepared, and they were written and rewritten and reannotated several times, both of them. They were the speeches that he gave routinely as a member and a leader of Alcoholics Anonymous. They were the two kind of canned messages that he had for groups to tell his own story. And one of them referred pretty extensively to me. And in those cards, he spoke both of his disappointment at his own behavior, his disappointment in our relationship and what it might have been without the alcoholism, but also at the great joy that he felt at being through a great ordeal and able to see me and me him much more clearly. And these note cards mapped out something that I did not know during his lifetime. It was the way my dad saw me. It was his hope for me. It was his best wish and his prayer for me. And it strengthens me today, because even though I can't ask my dad what to do, I know what my dad wants for me still. And so it is with this gospel that we hear this morning from the Gospel of John. It's out of sequence. This does not come at the time you think it might. The the prayer that we hear Jesus offering is at the Garden of Gethsemane. It's after he's already prayed, God, take this cup away from my lips. But if it can't be that way, then your will be done. It's called the high priestly prayer. And it comes on the night of Maundy Thursday, after he has already washed the disciples' feet and shared with them the first Eucharist. And you might think that on that occasion, Jesus would be primarily concerned with instructing the disciples what they are supposed to do. And of course he did. He gave them what we know is the great commandment, the new commandment. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. But he goes on to a gospel that we just heard this morning that has nothing to do with instructions to you and me. And so while most sermons might be unpacking the gospel in terms of, okay, so now what are you and I supposed to do with it? And all Eastertide long we've been talking about the relationship between living in fear and living in the resurrection. And hopefully sharing some ideas about what it looks like to live in the resurrection and giving you some tools for how to live in the resurrection. But that's not what today is about. Today's gospel is entirely eavesdropping on the relationship between Jesus and the Father. About Jesus talking to his own dad, the one who knew all the answers. We go to him thinking he knows all the answers. He goes to the Father because he does know all the answers. And what we hear is not instructions to us about how we're supposed to behave, but Jesus' own best hope, best prayer for you and me. And the assurance that even before we receive that power from the Holy Spirit, that Jesus, whose prayers are heard, we know, by the Father, has nothing more important to pray for than that you and I would be one as he and the Father are one. Not of one mind, not thinking exactly the same way, not doing the same thing, but one in relationship to each other. One, members of one another, accountable to one another, and loving one another. And Jesus' prayer is that all of our works begun and ended in him would be protected and blessed by the Father. So the news today is not about what we're supposed to do, but about the assurance that nothing we do ultimately hangs on our good work, our own best efforts, our own trying hard enough, following all the rules, but on the unmerited, boundless love of God. Clayton Schmidt writes it this way: our greatest fulfillment comes not when we achieve or acquire, but through what God enables us to do. Our greatest joys in life will come from good and godly pursuits. Our greatest freedom comes from not doing as we please, but serving as God pleases. And in the face of that powerful lie that we have heard as a child or along the way from a teacher or professor or boss or coworker, the one that says you are no good, that you'll never amount to anything, that you are worthless, the great truth of God will protect you. You are a child of God, a person of priceless worth. God gave the Son to die for you. Do not measure yourself by the deceptive standards of the world. Measure your worth by the standard of the one who made you. God says to each of us, I want you to live with me forever. If you want to know what your human value is, measure your worth against that. Amen.